You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, July 29th show. I provide you news on everything money, fresh information on market trends and conditions in our local economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. You can call the show at 1-855-400-1150 or go online at themoneyhour.com to ask any questions that I have the guest, my guest in studio, or request any topics that you'd like me to bring into the show. And right now I have John Katolik with Farmers Insurance, getting to know your home insurance, not as boring as you might think. John, thank you so much for coming back in studio.
Thank you, Tina. Great to be here again.
And a little bit about John, owner of a Farmers Insurance agent downtown Redmond, working to make sure that autos, homes, and lives are for the average consumer are adequately protected. John is a big advocate of protecting his clients using the tools added for an umbrella to get the best coverage up to the level where they need to protect the average consumer in the Seattle area. John also works with businesses and commercial property owners to insure them against most losses, from restaurants to manufactured plants, from wineries to laundromats, from contractors to dentists, and everything in between. John has over 30 years of an extensive business and insurance experience in the Puget Sound area that he brings to bear in advising customers. So, John, buying a home is the largest financial decision most people ever make. And given that fact, it's critical to make sure that that home is protected for loss. So in that vein, what should be the coverage included in most basic policies?
Well, the most basic policies, Tina, are going to cover three interrelated things. The home itself, think of that as the bricks and sticks the house is itself. It's going to cover your stuff. The clothes, TVs, furniture, all those things that if you took the house upside down and shook it are going to fly free and clear. And finally, the liability you have as a homeowner, where somebody might fall down your front steps and sue you, or a dog that you own might bite you. So those are the three interrelated things. There's several things that you might have in addition to that. Loss of use is really important. The house burns down or there's a small fire, but you can't live there for several weeks. Having coverage to cover your living expenses elsewhere are really important. That's kind of the three most important things.
Okay. So when you insure your home, how do you deal with its the value and the inflation that occurs with the cost of replacing it? Because a lot of times people get confused when they look at their insurance and it says that it's coverage for $150,000 and they just paid $600,000 for that home.
Well, there's not that big a gap, but there is a gap.
Okay, that's a little bit extreme.
Well, and it can be the gap the other way, where you're in a market of depressed prices,
yes,
where the house costs more to build than it's worth.
Uh-huh.
So you're trying to protect either way. Well, there's two methods, the replacement cost method and the actual cash value method. And then, there's also a third, the extended replacement cost method. Let me talk about each. Replacement cost is what it is. So my house burns down. We've got it insured for $150,000 for replacement. That's not the value of the land. That's to replace the home.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that $150,000 is there to use. The actual cash value method takes into account depreciation. So I've got an older home built 50 years ago, and its market value is $1 million. It's insured for the depreciated value. So let's say it's only insured for $500,000. To reconstruct, it might be $650,000.
Uh-huh.
I'm short $150,000. And there's a third and my most favorite way, which is extended replacement cost. On the front end, we value your house for $500,000, but we build in some cheat factor, 10%, 25%, 50%, or the best of all is guaranteed replacement. The house burns down, guaranteed replacement says it doesn't matter what it costs, it's going to be taken care of.
Wow, sounds like my favorite as well. So, John, given these three types of coverage, what are some general tips for insuring your home's value?
Make sure your insurance for reconstruction costs is up to date with what the marketplace says it is. Talk to your friend that's the realtor.
Uh-huh.
Talk to your friend that's the appraiser, the lender, and ask, what are the construction costs in my neighborhood? You know the square footage of your house. Multiply the construction cost times square footage of your house, and you're going to be pretty darn close to what it's going to cost this year to rebuild it.
Yeah, great advice. So what about all your stuff that you talked about, your personal property, the furniture and clothing that you have in your closets, the TVs and computers, everything that you own that's stored away in the house? What about that?
Well, the two methodologies is replacement cost. You want your, let's say I've got a suit that's 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Replacement cost after a fire and I've lost my suit is going to say that your house, you can go out and buy that from Macy's now, comparable suits, $500, even though the value might actually be what the Goodwill would give you, which is 10
sure.
bucks.
Yep.
The other methodology is using that actual cash value, which I call as a Goodwill or St. Vincent de Paul value, which is almost nothing. I encourage all my customers to use a replacement cost value for the method of valuing the personal property they have.
Okay, so would this go for the same for jewelry, art, coin collections, maybe even your baseball cards? I mean, some of those can have a lot of value on them.
Yeah, well, that's a particular problem. Most insurance for homes have a built-in what is called sublimit. Those sublimits will say there's $2,500 cover for jewelry. Well, the average woman has a diamond ring on her finger that's worth a heck of a lot more than that.
Yes.
The way you handle that is you add a rider, a floater to your policy and endorsing it specifically for that item. It requires getting that ring appraised.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be within 2 years, and they're going and insuring it for that. That itself might cost a third or a fourth of what the policy's worth. And that's handled differently by every company. Some companies, like Farmers,
uh-huh.
guarantees that if you have a mysterious loss of that, you don't know where it went, it's going to be covered. Other companies have to have a theft and a crime report for that.
Got it.
Or a fire or some loss that's connected to it. So it's real important to understand that you just don't get it, the value of that ring covered with your
yeah.
insurance. There's a sublimit. Same goes for baseball cards, mm-hmm. money you might have, stock certificates, all that. It's going to be limited for that category to a certain level and not nearly as high as you think it's worth if you have substantial assets tied up in that personal property.
Yeah, so just like, you know, you don't see as much attention put to insurance for home and auto as you do when you're looking at your financial plan, when the reality, listening to you, call to action of my listeners is to really get with your insurance agent or, you know, call the show to get connected here with John, that you really have to do that research.
And it's also really important to document what you own. If
yeah,
you
makes
have
sense.
Objects like that, and I've got a 1955 Mickey Mantle baseball card in mint condition, I should document, one, what I paid for it, two,
uh-huh.
by taking pictures, and cell phones are great for this,
yeah.
document everything you own so that if there is a loss, there's no question that you actually had it. If you have a significant fire and it hits these items you own,
yeah.
there's no proof unless you can prove it. A picture is worth $1 million in
yeah.
many cases.
Yeah, get the pictures and make sure they're in a place that are outside of the home so that they're safe in case that does happen. So being in the mortgage industry, you know, I talk with buyers every day that are under contract and you know they've got to get insurance for their home. What is advice or information you would give on the process of insuring home for the first time?
If you got an insurance agent, tell them you've got a house you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Have them run a quote on it. There's some beautiful things that happen inside the insurance industry. One is that we have a track record of every home out there that's ever had
yeah.
a claim. You can see they had water damage 3 years ago. What's important about that for you is that's going to increase the cost of your insurance.
Yeah.
That loss runs with that home. You may have had a prior loss in your renter policy 2 years ago
mm-hmm.
that was water damage. That loss also affects the rate you're going to pay on that home you purchased. You might
yeah.
not see the connection, but the insurance industry ties losses both to the property that you're buying and your own history of claims because it says something about how you take care of stuff too.
Yeah, makes sense. What about location of your home? Where the home's located? What type of impact does that have or does it?
Well, it's obvious. You get high crime rates in some parts of
yeah.
Seattle that are going to affect the cost of your insurance
mm-hmm.
for theft. You're also going to have the likelihood of disasters. People, as they move up into the mountains, they're going to have a higher chance of having their home burned down due to a forest fire.
Yes.
As anybody knows. There is also the age and condition of the house. An old Victorian house sounds wonderful, but it may have older wiring, and the cost of fixing that with all the detail just
yeah.
isn't possible today. So an insurance carrier is going to look at that. They may not even want, many, many carriers out there won't insure a home prior to 1950
mm-hmm.
for anything less than actual cash value.
Yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, everything is based on statistic of default. Getting a mortgage and a loan is based on statistic of default. Interest rates are going to be affected based on that. Insurance, no difference. The statistics of that home, statistics of the neighborhood, and the individual that is requiring for the insurance makes total sense. So what other advice do you have for my listeners on how to lower their premium for home insurance?
Put deadbolts on your doors. Make sure you've got all the most recent if you've got a system, a sprinkler system. If you don't, the proximity to a fire hydrant, alarm systems that are centrally monitored, all those things add up to helping you lower your cost of your insurance, raising your deductible, multi-policy discounts. I tell all my customers, at least try getting it all with me, not because I'm greedy. I am, but it also allows me...
At least you're honest, John.
It allows me the opportunity to offer you discounts, as much as 15% or 20% if you have your car and home and umbrella with me.
Okay. So anything else that you can do to improvements and changes in the home to lower that cost?
In the Northwest, the number one loss claim we have is water.
Yes.
It gets through that roof. So a new roof, if you put a new roof on your home, make sure you tell your insurance carrier that you have a new roof. They'll give you a discount, oftentimes as much as 20, 25% in our marketplace. And again, I think I've told you in my prior visit here, maintain a good credit score.
Yes.
In Washington State especially, credit is really connected to what you pay for insurance, whether that's your home, your auto.
Why is it different in Washington than other states?
We tend to use that as a good barometer. I think you look at the income of the people that live here, the kind of people that live on the east side especially, that their assets and their wealth tend to make them better insured prospects simply because they have more to lose.
So that's actually, that's the first time that I've ever realized that actually that algorithm or whatever is different for credit score in different states. But so then the way you're saying it is actually a benefit to us because if you've got that higher credit score, it's going to benefit you. So that makes sense. So, John, we've covered a lot of ground today, but one thing that we haven't covered was talking about earthquake insurance and flood insurance. And on flood insurance, I don't have a lot of properties that my clients are purchasing that are in a flood zone. But when I have, there can be flood zones where the insurance really isn't that much. And another one that it's really, really expensive. And same with earthquake. Earthquake insurance in some homes is really inexpensive. And other ones, it's crazy expensive. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, let me talk about flood insurance a little bit to interact with that a bit.
Okay.
I agree with you. Most of the time, a floodplain's known. So if you buy a house in Carnation, your lender's going to require it.
Of course,
and it's driven by what the government says it's going to be.
Uh-huh.
But there is a caveat, I would say, where people should look at flood insurance. If you buy a home in Seattle at a base of a hill, the water from a November storm blocked by leaves can rush into your home and flood your basement and some of your first floor. That's not covered unless you have flood insurance. So it's real important to look at the location of your home relative, not to streams, but to capacity for water to come down a hillside.
Yes.
And then in earthquake insurance, I would just tell people that it's been since 2001, since the last major one, earthquakes tend to be in the Puget Sound every 15 to 25, 30 years. Mm-hmm. We're halfway through that period, being 16, 17 years out since the one in 2001. I would encourage people to look at it.
Yeah,
you can find insurance companies that carry it as an endorsement, and it's relatively cheap.
Okay.
So I would really push looking at both those as options in particular cases.
Yeah.
One of the reasons earthquake insurance costs more depends upon the age of the home again.
Sure.
The newer homes, they're strapped. They're not even bolted. They are strapped with long straps that run through the foundation up against the walls and tighten it down. The older homes are bolted down the bottom frame.
Got it. So on that, because you talked about improvements, is there anything that you could do in improvements related to prepare your house for earthquake that's going to financially make sense because of the lower coverage or the lower cost for that coverage?
You can look at, if a handy homeowner can do some of this, but strapping has become the particular way they would do it. You take the siding off and you run strap down and you really power drive it into the foundation up along the wall, or you run bolts through the bottom sill plate on a base of a wall.
Got it. So if you're listening today, my conversation here with John, owner of a farmer insurance company, is really kind of strategize with your insurance agent to find out what things you might be able to do to the home, weigh out the cost associated to do that, and how much it's going to save you in insurance. And there can be a big difference. Make sure that you're bundling things up so that you're getting those discounts and getting the right policy for what you need.
And there's a lot of insurance companies out there that will actually wrap around another insurance company's primary insurance as an earthquake carrier.
Got
so
it.
Just shop. Yeah. I really encourage you to do that.
Makes sense. Just like everything else, you really want to, you're looking for the best representation and the company that can take care of what your needs are. John, thank you so much for coming back in studio. Really appreciate it and look forward to having you back again soon.
You betcha.
Coming up next in the Money Hour, a discussion on appraisals. Ryan Lindquist with Lindquist Company right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.